Kellen recently asked me what the chance was of somebody maybe preaching, maybe the Bible study or maybe the lesson beforehand on the same day, and today's going to be 100%. So, Greg, thank you for your excellent lesson this morning on perseverance. I'm going to detour a little bit with that because there's a thing called a scar, which I think is what we'll focus on one of the elements, key elements of healing. I'd like to thank the elders for the opportunity to spend a few minutes to share a couple verses, and want to say thank you so much for all the gentlemen who sang the songs of praise, songs about why we should obey God, how we seek humbly His guidance in everything that we do, and certainly how we can gain encouragement with one another for one goal, and that's to be free from sin together. So, thank you. You know, Kellen was in a cast that most of you have seen multiple times in different areas, but same hand. Thankfully, he's left-handed, so his right hand took the brunt of it. Then he was in a boot for a bit, and all these things that happen are a result of an accident. And so physical injury can occur. Accidents happen. Obviously, they're unexpected. And sometimes, you know, there's a physical reminder that these accidents or injuries, or if you have to have a procedure, a surgery, there's an injury that's superficial or skin deep. And so there's really a visible scar. It's really tangible. You can actually look and see that there's a line there. And unfortunately, if the injury is deeper, there can be both the physical reminder of that scar, but also the emotional reminder, which is sometimes less tangible, but it's still ever real. So when we were created, we're very thankful that there was a way that we heal. You know, I'm not going to go into any pictures and not going to go into this in great detail. But, you know, there's four phases. There's hemostasis, inflammation, proliferation, and remodeling. So basically, when an injury happens, the bleeding stops. And then when you look at that area, you've got this clot, and the area gets all red and angry. And so certainly that's where the area gets inflamed. And what's happening is the body's defense is coming in. It's trying to clean things up. It's trying to remove anything that shouldn't be there. And then we start to see new growth. New tissue growth, sometimes 3 days, sometimes it takes several months. You know, the skin cycle is, what, 28 days? So we look at all these different things, and then there's the remodeling phase. And the remodeling phase is the one where the scar starts to take shape, and it starts to level down a bit, if you will, and starts to flatten. And that's when our skin starts to strengthen again, develops the flexibility. So when we look at injury to the soul, it's a little bit different. It's like spiritual injury. And sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't, but really it's the deepest type of injury we can sustain. Sin is a choice. It's been said, I apologize for the spelling error, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you want to pay. Right? So Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And that is a very important point to know, because sometimes the sin that we're doing is not tangible. It's not something we can see. So, but unfortunately, we all sin, and we know that. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short from the glory of God. You know, our decisions every day, every moment, can result in falling short from what we're asked to do. And sometimes the decisions we make have easy solutions, and sometimes they're more difficult. But either way, we're reminded by our conscience, that's with knowledge, realizing when we have fallen short. So we know, if we come to realize that we've sinned, that that is a very important thing, because, you know, we have the word that we're trying to base our lives from. So these scars, you know, this is the... I challenge you tonight to look at these scars as, yes, they can be unsightly, but they're really needed for growth. And this growth of tissue that marks the spot where the healing occurs after the injury, sometimes the depth of injury, the mechanism of injury, how bad of an accident or a procedure or whatever, can dictate that healing. But that scar is a beginning. And I think this buildup of the new tissue that closes that gap and repairs that damaged tissue You know, that's really what the scar's protective mechanism is. It's our way that we're growing that tissue back. And thankfully, a lot of these scars fade away, right? We get asked this all the time. Am I going to have a pretty good scar from what you're going to do or this kind of thing, especially if we go outside on the face. So, but the thing to also keep in mind is, you know, sometimes wounds will heal, but if there's still infection or there's still something in there, that scar can be really unsightly. And more importantly, if we look at it from the spiritual aspect, that scar really can require additional treatment because it really rattles our soul. So I'm going to ask you guys to pause for a second and just think about it. You know, Kellen was telling me there was a really bad game that team that they had, and I think they lost like 7-2 or something. They really got handed a defeat to them. And one of the encouraging things that was stated to all the boys on that team was, do you remember what that felt like? Everybody's like, yeah, it was a terrible feeling. So if we think about it, there's a feeling that we don't forget about. When we come to the realization, whether it's disappointment, embarrassment, sometimes sadness, that we have sinned. But the thankful thing about this is we have that choice to get up and rise again. So we remember that for that split second, and we say, man, that wasn't the right thing to do, or I could have done better. You know, the greatest failure is if we don't get up and try again. And sometimes, you know, these things result in a scar, and that's what we're sort of looking at. So when we look at this final stage of healing, the remodeling phase, you know, it's been said before that our scars can destroy us even after the physical wounds have healed us. If we survive them and we choose to move beyond them, they can transform us and they can give us the power to endure and the strength to fight on. And this is the core of this entire message tonight. We are asked to press on, and that ties in with what Greg was talking about this morning. You know, Philippians 3:12-14, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I think a really critical thing that we sometimes have to be mindful is forgetting what lies behind. We can't move forward if it burdens us and if sin or the thought of what we've done before robs us of the ability to grow in God's word. And I think forgetting what lies behind can happen many different ways, but I think the most important thing is straining forward, getting back up when we've fallen down, is super important. So looking at SCAR from an acronym, we should look at it as S, for sin no more. When we look at how and maybe how we've fallen short or whatnot, our goal is to study, study, and study. And if we submit ourselves to Christ and use the Word of God as a supplement for the foundation for growth, we're going to be better off. Romans 6:12-14, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. James 4:7 says something as well. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Matthew 4, verses 4 and 7. But he answered and said, it is written. I'm going to focus on that a bit, because verse 7 also says, it is written again. Even when God was tempted, he referred back to Scripture. It is written. And we can find ourselves looking at that and say, hey, how can we sin no more? Go back to the Word. and study. Correct the action, beginning with your confession. If we've fallen short, we have to realize we've done that, right? So correction begins with confession. John 1:19, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James 5:16, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And certainly, again, you know, we should try to understand what went wrong. Try again. Ask yourself, what can you learn from your shortcoming? And focus on the strengths and seek support from our brethren and like-minded Christians. Because Galatians 5:16 says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The A and scar could possibly represent assessment. We mentioned it this morning, right? Examine yourself, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you indeed, you fail to meet the test. You know, when we assess, we sort of can understand, how did we do today? When I was an ex-Catholic, I didn't say ex-convict, I said ex-Catholic. Just checking to see you're listening. We would have this thing called the examination of daily conscience. And this is a very similar concept, probably that's how they borrowed it, that we assess where we are in our walk with Christ. Because to obey the word and to live it is really important. But then we ought to work to, A, again, avoid the temptation, right? And certainly I think that's very important. So Lamentations 3:40, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. And then the R, react accordingly. You know, we want to recognize and again resist that temptation. And we are so thankful for that opportunity to sidestep sin, you know. You know, no temptation's overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. There is always an escape. But with the temptation, he will also provide you the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I know several people probably in this congregation have done the escape rooms. So they probably get very clever and they can figure things out. I have not made it to doing that. But, you know, certainly, again, when we think about it, every time we're faced with a very big decision, we can resist and we certainly can also find that way of escape. And certainly, we want to resist the devil. We want to find every opportunity to avoid it. And if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, you know, certainly God will lift us. Certainly, failure is simply an opportunity to begin again, but this time more intelligently. Good for Henry Ford, right? And as Rick said this morning, we decide what side we are on. We can make those decisions if we fall short. You know, 2 Timothy 4:7 through 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love appearing. So, I mean, I think the thing that we should know is, even when we do get up and we say, okay, we got through this initial trial, or we need to get better at this or whatnot, that's only the beginning. Just like that scar. Sometimes scars take a very long time to go away. Thankfully, most of them fade away, but you know, a lot of them don't. And I think that if we start with our journey in Christ, if we look to begin our journey for those of any of us in this audience that might need it, or perhaps if we're part of this congregation and we need to look at our journey and we need to see if there is an opportunity for us to come forward, let us use this opportunity as we sing the song of invitation.